following is a recording of the Maria Verona teleconference with iAdvise on Wednesday, October 29th, 2014 at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cobblers Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention, and I will now turn the call over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mega Cable's third quarter 2014 conference call. Thank you very much for participating today. At this time, allow me to introduce from Guadalajara, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Megacable's CEO, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Zetter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentlemen will be happy to take your questions after their prepared remarks. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you please refer to the quarterly release, which was issued yesterday evening. If you didn't receive the information and would like to add to the Megacable mailing list, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3695. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin the presentation. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Melanie, and hello to all our participants. It's a pleasure to have you join us to discuss what was another excellent quarter for Megacable in terms of operating and financial performance. After more than 3 months in place, the reforms are clear, and they are certainly shaping the game for players like Megacable in the telecom sector. We continue to hope that these reforms apply in terms of best connectivity, undifferentiated prices, and expedited access. So we continue to support and work with the authorities. For Megacable, our goal is to remain the leader in cable, internet, and telephony in all our markets, with the most advanced telecommunication technologies and services available. The internet segment showed a strong growth of 34% year-over-year in subscribers, above the national and national increase of the market that was 15%. This growth was driven by the back-to-school program, our very competitive rates, and the best speeds in the market. Our customers continue to appreciate the stability and speed of the service offered. Regarding cable, their cable subscribers grew 8%, which was higher also than the market growth rate at 6%. This is the result of our gains in market share in telephony. In telephony, the market is not growing, but the company grew an outstanding 22%. The company continues to focus on expanding the network by building new kilometers, as well as renewing and enhancing current network kilometers, enabling Megacable to provide newer and better services to a larger audience. Today, our network exceeds 49,000 kilometers of distribution, passing over 6.8 million homes. With this, as well as the broadband upgrade, Megacable has the ability to offer the company's advanced interactive high-definition and video-on-demand services to a larger range of customers than ever before. We also launched additional high-definition signals to our subscribers' base and expect to increase coverage of video-on-demand service to additional cities in Mexico. We believe that 2014 is a year where the company's strategies and market conditions have combined to have better results. Moreover, the vision of new ways of seeing content and communicating are essential. That's why we keep working in our OTT, SVOD, and IMS services to meet the goals that the market is seeking. Megacable is committed to be a market leader adopting and launching state-of-the-art technology to provide our current and future customers the best user experience at the best price. We will continue investing to have the largest coverage possible in our service area with the best network and content. Finally, I would like to say that we are will continue to be the best choice for residential customers. Right now, we are focused on enhancing our penetration and positioning in the business segment as well. Now, I will turn things over to our Deputy CEO, Raimundo Fernandez. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone, again. I will review our operating results and the strategies we have to achieve our present and future goals and help us to be the leaders in the various segments in which we operate. In terms of our operating performance, in the third quarter, Megacable continued its momentum of outstanding subscriber growth, particularly in the internet segment, reaching 1.2 million subscribers with record net adds in the quarter of 109,000 subscribers. This increased in our base by 308,000 net additions compared to third quarter 2013. This represents a 10% increase for the quarter and 34% increase compared to third quarter 2013, respectively. We anticipate internet subscriber growth to continue and be a major catalyst for Megacable's performance for the coming years as consumers continue to search for faster broadband speed and, of course, a more reliable and a great service. On the other hand, the digital video segment increased an outstanding 22%, implying net additions of 270,000 year-over-year as a result of our digitalization project. These are digital video subscribers, totaling 1.5 million main digital set-top boxes and an additional 1.8 million second or additional outlets. This is very important since our penetration in lower economic levels brings a possible decrease in video ARPU, but the addition of high-definition interactive services and additional set-top boxes in the house help us to balance this effect. In terms of video subscribers, the company grew 8% with net adds of 165,000 year-over-year. As we have stated in the past, a very efficient marketing campaign with a clear message and the creation of new packages have been the key factor to success. The telephony segment added over 124,000 subscribers, a growth of 22% year-over-year, increasing our share in a very mature market like Enrique mentioned before. As I said, in the third quarter of 2014, Megacable increased its total subscriber number through organic growth in all of its segments, with significant growth of 50,000 in video, 109,000 in broadband, and 41,000 additional subscribers compared to second quarter 2014 in telephony. This growth was achieved through an increase in sales, not only due to the campaigns that I mentioned before, but by adding new sales distribution channels and by keeping our churn rate in video and telephony in spite of these aggressive campaigns. Compared to third quarter 2013, the company continued to reduce subscriber churn in video and broadband, while telephony increased slightly since we are even more aggressive in this market share. Another good news is that our unique ARPU increased from 370 pesos from third quarter 13 to 395 pesos in third quarter 2014. This is an increase of 7% year over year due to the increase in the number of revenue generating units from 1.6 to 1.71 per subscriber. However, and we consider this normal, the broadband ARPUs and telephony decreased year over year because of the aggressive campaign and the launch of some new low price packages. As an effect of the internet growth, our network capacity is being updated to support subscriber usage. So, not only the last mile to the network, but the core itself was upgraded, integrating new routes with less delay and more redundancy, interconnected to more international carriers as well. The number of nodes increased, while total network increased also 5%, both year over year. Therefore, the number of compacts per node is lower. That gives us the ability to smooth transition to an FTTH or fiber to the home architecture network if required in the future. This investment so far is being made considering our legacy network. So the minimum of that investment is required where it is needed. In order to provide access ubiquity to our internet customers, supporting their always-on experience with our services, we have been increasing the number of outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots throughout the country as well. In terms of our national backbone, new segments were added, looking to launch our service and bring this segment, this service, to new communities, some of them in the states of Jalisco, Michoacán, Querétaro, and Veracruz, just to describe some of them. Megacable is committed to take broadband connectivity to the vast majority of our home parks, as you can see. On the telephony side, we are glad to announce that just this month, we finalized the migration of our new voice platform, which is based on an IMS, which is an IP multimedia system.
Lucy, ¿estás aquí?
Hello? Okay. This platform will greatly benefit our voice service, and it will certainly improve the thickness among our actual customers while driving new apps. The first effect will be better performance to accommodate the subscriber growth and soon new services to the platform. We continue to work in our solution, Megacable Play, to set the pace for our OTT initiative. Before the end of the year, we will be integrating new capabilities to the platform so we can take advantage of our partner players like Fox Club or ESPN Play, so this product will have more content than other platforms in terms of TV windows and content. We also have added new titles as we have increased the number of studios that we are partnering with for movies and series. This will bring huge value to our OTT platform. We are very confident that this platform will bring tremendous added benefits to our customers who will have access to our content at any place, any time, and through any device. These measures will also enhance the SVOD offer with the ability to be seen both on TV and on any device, as I said. Megacable is getting closer to provide same user experience in any device at any time. In our video platform, Megacable continues the deployment of HD and VOD services across the main systems. The HD signals have been upgraded to 62 channels in more cities, and the capacity and the number of interactive video assets has increased as well. More studios and more movies are integrated in addition to the catch-up of our linear channels. All this is part of our SVOD product, which is great, and I would like you to see it and test it whenever you can on our system. Metro Carrier, Ola, and MTN, our business segment, continue to provide great results also. The combined revenue year over year grew from 270 million pesos third quarter 13 to 462 million pesos in third quarter 14. This is a 72% increase in this segment. Our company continues to be better positioned in every vertical of this market, whether federal, state, or municipal government, to big corporations or SMBs as well. Our technology does adapt to each of those segments. We have a very clear strategy, product, technology, and looking for operation efficiency. And the more important factor, our people make a great combination to create these results. That concludes my comments. I'll let Luis wrap things up with some key financials. Luis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo. I will now briefly highlight some of the key lines of our three-quarter results that were reported yesterday. Megacable's consolidated services revenues increased 16% year-over-year, reaching over 2.8 billion pesos. On a per-segment basis, video contributed 55% of revenue, internet reached 22%, telephony contributed with 12%, and others with 11%. Consolidated EBITDA rose 13% year-over-year, reaching 1.2 billion pesos, for an EBITDA margin of 41.8% adjusted EBITDA for cable operation rose 11% year-over-year for a total of 1.1 billion pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenue of 43.7%. Net income totaled 578 million pesos, a 2% increase from 2013 on a high tax rate and the impact of foreign exchange on the comprehensive financing costs. Megacable continued to improve operating costs. Excluding all operations, cost of services increased only 5% compared to the same quarter of last year. Regarding the company's financial situation, Megacable continues to deliver an outstanding cash flow generation. Assets, cash, and temporary investments increased 307 million pesos, or 8% year over year. This, on top of the 1.3 billion pesos dividend payment issued on fourth quarter of 2013. The net debt closed at negative 1.5 billion pesos. These results have contributed to achieve even better financial ratios. The consolidated net debt to EBITDA ratio reached minus 0.32 times, and interest coverage reached 37 times at the end of the period. Property, system, and equipment net increased 14%, or 1.6 billion pesos, due to the purchase of subscriber equipment, construction and upgrading of new kilometers of network, and the acquisition of equipment, among others. During the third quarter, capital expenditure reached 675 million pesos for a year-to-date total of 1.8 billion pesos. That concludes our prepared remarks. We will now be happy to take your questions. Operator, please begin with the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by pressing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our first question comes from Martin Lara from Actinver Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and congratulations for the very strong results. I have two questions. First of all, what are the savings related to the reduction, to the elimination of the mobile termination rate? And the second question is, where do you see your EBITDA margin in the fourth quarter? Because I see that the EBITDA margin has been going down during the year. So I was wondering if there is going to be any rebound.
Okay, thank you, Martin. The first one was the savings from mobile termination costs, and then the percentage of the margin declining on that part. As you can see, we need to check the number correctly. We do have a slight saving on that part, on the telephony cost from that part. That we are doing, it was nothing on this third quarter. We're getting the amount. I don't know if you have it in your mind. What was exactly the amount? But as you know, the mobile has been decreasing year over year, and now we have a better interconnection cost on the phone. This gives us also the ability to transport all the calls from our network to terminate on the 045 on that phone. Let us work on that part, and we'll get back to you to that saving in that part, because I don't have it in my mind, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll send you the numbers.
You're from mobile, you know.
Yeah.
Put a very
okay. Thank you. And with respect to the EBITDA margin, do you see any rebound?
Rebound?
No. We think on the margin, we think that as we grow, but we are also growing, remember, on the business segment, we are growing on a faster pace. That is creating, you know, a mix of margin that is going to be kind of steady or maybe reduced by some minor points, basis points. Because we have Ola, which has margins of around 14%, and it's growing on 20%, 25% year over year. So that really will not allow us to expand our margins in the future, on the near future.
Yeah, you have to remember that in the business segment, the composition of the revenues is based mainly in two items. It's services, connectivity services, and also hardware and software sales. And those two labs have a very small margin to compare to the margins that we have in connectivity and telecommunications. So the margins there are lower overall. And as this segment grows, we will be careful not to lower more the margins that we have, but we don't see the margins going up overall.
So in other words, you see EBITDA margin remaining at around 42% in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Almost 43, yeah. Mm-hmm. Between 42 and 42 and a half, you can go more for 42 and a half. The problem on that, like Enrique says, is that also the business segment has a strong contribution on the fourth quarter with a lower margin. You know, normally if you see last year also our revenues were strong on that part, you know, but the contribution was higher on that part. So we would like to continue to be in line with what we have and probably be a little higher on the margin, but not too optimistic. You know, 42.5 will be for the consolidated will be good enough, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our next question will come from Andre Saba from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning to all. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask you about your sales campaign for the back-to-school season this year, and more precisely if you can give us more color on what you were offering and on these lower price packages, and perhaps if you can tell us what mix of customers you've been receiving over this last couple of months. So, you know, like if the net adds are more on the lower end side or on the higher end. That's my first question. Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. We do have the back-to-school campaign as usual. You know, it's part of the seasonality of the product on that part. But if you can see, we have that's a contributing factor, but it's not the only one that we can tell you there. As I said on my speech, we did some adjustments beginning last year in our strategy. What we did was have a very clear offer to the market in terms of single, double, and triple play packages. We did adjust our sales force to sell the product that the customer requires in each of the social economic levels. We integrate new channels of distribution with point of sales in some important segments of the mid to upper economic levels on that part. And we create also a third-party dealer that helps us sell the product that we have so far. Altogether is what brings that on the marketing campaign. And don't forget that we have increased significantly the speed of our subscribers. So when we go there, it's everything related. Our more than 3,000 salesmen on the street, they really know how to approach and to bring people back or to our company in that segment. We are growing, like Enrique said, we're growing the broadband segment more than the market itself. That means we're bringing subscribers from the competition, and we're doing everything together, you know, going from upper to mid to lower. Of course, since we grow so much on the third quarter, the ARPU of that segment decreased because we have a huge amount of sales on that part. You know, good thing also is that our churn rate on video and internet, we have been able to decrease that compared to last year. So we're very pleased that I think we're doing at least some of the things or most of the things we think we're doing right, and the market is looking at that with good product, good capacity and that. So I don't expect on that part the ARPU of broadband to continue to decrease. If your question goes to that, we're committed to sell what we call the wide band, which is the 20, 50, 100, and even 200 megabits to the home, try to increase that so the revenue of the internet segment does not continue to decrease because of price. I don't see price of broadband on our segment going down. I see that we have a decrease right now because of the strong sales on that part. So you can count that we will continue to increase our output by increasing our our RPUs per subscriber, RGUs per subscriber.
Okay, that's great. And then on a second question, on the corporate or business segment, I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about how much of your mix of revenues come from the government segment, thinking about how much stronger you expect the fourth quarter to be for OLA and for Metro Carrier, no? Especially since the government tends to pay for more projects in the towards the end of the year.
The chunk of the government revenue on that segment is not the majority of it. Is not even the vast majority of it. Remember that we are very, very targeted to SMBs on that part. So we have a huge amount of business connection to our HFC network for the regular broadband with Wi-Fi and 2-4 line telephone in that part, and even video for some of those like hotels and restaurants in that part. So that is not government, you know. On the other hand, when you go to the corporate and businesses on those 25 states, we get to mid-sized enterprise and a more smaller on federal and government in that part. So we don't have any dependency on contracts from government on that segment. That I can tell you.
Okay, so we should expect the revenues for the corporate segment to be somewhat similar to what you've had in the first 9 months of the year for the fourth quarter?
I always expect to increase, as you know, the increase, not the government itself. You know, I sense that you are very targeted into that part. We're increasing the segment, the business segment in all the different verticals, like I said, with different products. You know, MTN much more targeted to telephony and internet termination. We are to SMBs and corporate and government, and all is selling great. It's having a great revamp of sales this year on hardware and managed services. So we're in everything. I cannot tell you. We're going to grow. I'm pretty sure we're going to grow in every segment.
We don't think governmental services are going to be the big part of the corporate business revenue that we will have.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
To you, Andres.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. Our next question then comes from Ivan Hernandez with Scotiabank.
Thank you. This is actually Andres Coelho. Thanks for taking the question. I understand that on October 31st, Meacable will be holding a meeting of CPO shareholders where the A shares will be converted into CPOs. So perhaps you can give some color as to why this conversion is taking place. I understand, too, that recently the controlling families apparently exit the HSBC Trust. So I don't know if there is any relation between the exit of the controlling families from the HSBC Trust from is there any relationship between this and the 31st, and the meeting on the 31st?
Well, yes, we have a CTO owners shareholder meeting this month, and that's only to take advantage of the new legislation. The regulation allows any telecommunications company to have we don't have the hurdle now of the limit of having only 0.9% of foreign investment in the telecommunications sector. This was a regulation that we had in place in the past. So now when we did our IPO, due to that regulation, we could not have all the shareholders of the company could not have a CPO because CPOs have those shares. And so what we did was we had a provision in our bylaws that said that all the CPOs that were in circulation were a voting share if it was owned by a Mexican citizen. And if it was not owned by a Mexican city, it was not a voting share. That would change when if law changed in the future. Now the law changed. So all our CPOs are voting shares. So there's no limit for the local or original owners of the company to own CPOs and give them a lot more flexibility in the future for the market in case anyone decides to sell some share or use the share to leverage their financial position. In order to issue more CPOs or convert all our shares into CPOs, we need to have the authorization of the CPO owner's trust. That's why we're doing that. It doesn't mean that anyone is selling or that anyone is going to sell. It's just taking advantage of the law and having more flexibility for the future. We don't know what shareholders mean will decide in the future, I'm not talking about this shareholder meeting, but in the future, we don't know if the company decides to do or the shareholders decide to do a follow-on or of the RPO, because we need to be prepared to take advantage of the market. So in case we need additional capital or in case we need additional leverage for any credit with the bank, with syndication, with any kind of bonds, we need to be prepared. That's what we're doing. We're just getting ready for the future. It's not that anyone is willing to sell or wants to sell. The trust that we have is a administration and how you say that? It's an administration. Then we have a shareholder trust that is a custodian administration trust. That's pretty much what we're doing. And so we know what's happening with our CPOs.
Thank you. And thank you. One second question quickly. Regarding the acquisition of PCTV, if you can give us some color as of how that process is going. I understand that you are not consolidating yet PCTV. When do you expect that transaction to be closed? If you are seeing any resistance by the regulator or anything we should be aware of. Also, I understand that you have not disclosed the price at which you bought PCTV. I don't know if you are more comfortable now in disclosing that information. Thank you.
Well, yes, we did complete that acquisition. What we did was take advantage of the new regulation, the new telecommunication law, that has this Article 9, the transitory 9, that allows any telecommunication company, as long as there is a preponderance in the sector, to buy other communication companies with the provision of just advising the authority or letting the authority know, you know, officially that we did that decision. So we did that. We communicated that to the IFETEL. And that's an advantage that the law, the new law, gives the telecommunications operators like us. And since PCTV is another telecommunication company, so we decided to take advantage of that. So that operation is completed. We did the acquisition, and we did we already notified the authority. In the terms of the law. And the amount that we are paying for that company is around, the valuation we did was about 150 million pesos for the 100% of the company. 100% of the company was the valuation we did was 150 million. So we paid whatever percentage we bought from the sellers at that valuation. I don't know if that's clear enough.
And that operation has taken place during this month in October. So we will consolidate the numbers on the fourth quarter of 2014.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, gentlemen, the next question comes from Gilberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. I kind of follow up on the last question. Are you planning or are you considering any changes to your bylaws in addition to the change in the shares and CPO structure?
Is there any other change
in bylaws? No, we're not considering any. Not at all.
Okay, thank you. Regarding the different subject, the ARPU for internet, do you expect to stabilize this level of we saw a significant decline, obviously related to your promotions and with the benefit of the net additions. What do you expect to see a pickup in broadband ARPU in the short term?
We expect the ARPU to really go up a little bit. The ARPU this quarter came down mainly due to the high number of new subscribers that we got during the last month, and because they start paying in during the month of October. So we expect that to stabilize a little bit, unless we still keep growing on a higher pace and we grow more subscribers, which we think is going to happen, but that's why we think it's not going down. So the FX will stabilize, and maybe will go up a little bit.
Will be higher, slightly higher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next question comes from GDM, Grupo Bursátil Mexicano. Carlos de Legarreta, is this you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Please go ahead.
Yes. Well, thanks for taking the question. First of all, we noticed an important increase in your working capital requirements. I don't know if you have any comments on this. Can you please walk us through what is changing? Is this a transitional thing, or should we expect a similar behavior in next quarter? Thank you.
No, I think that's a transitional thing. We had some acquisition of fixed assets that we were a little bit behind in the year, and we really grew a little bit on the need for this quarter, but we don't see that growing on a different pace for the future. We think it's going to remain as for this quarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm particularly looking at the suppliers account that you're reducing sequentially almost 20%. I don't know if this advance means anything related to perhaps to the integration of Ola or something like that.
Yes, it was inclusion of Ola compared to remember that last year Ola numbers were not included there. So yes, you can look at the last quarter this year and just consider that as a follow on that.
Okay, that's very helpful. And my second question will be regarding the CapEx guidance that you provided for the end of the year. I believe was around 2.5 billion pesos. I don't know if that's a number
mm-hmm.
that we should still be looking at.
Yes, I think we will still be online. We are right now on 21% of our revenue. We target every year around 23. This quarter was 23%, so we think we are going to close on the 22% of our revenues, more or less. So depending on some purchases and lead times from the suppliers, but we expect that to be completed next close between the 22 and 23% of revenue. So yeah, we are going to be right on target.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Gentlemen, the next question comes from Mr. Sunil Rajgopal from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Sure. Hi. I just have two questions. Firstly, is there any update with regards to further expansion into cable through acquisitions? Because I remember during the last call, the company talked about expanding into other markets. I just want to check if we have any update on that. And would you be able to give us any guidance with regards to 2015 expectations at this stage? Thank you.
Well, no, yes, thank you. This is Enrique. No, we don't have any updates on acquisitions. We haven't seen any opportunity for acquisitions arising other than the one we did the dollar. We are very focused in organic growth right now, but we are also focused in having a strong balance sheet and a stronger legal structure to be able to take advantage of any new opportunities arise. We think they will arise in the future, and we will be prepared for that. And regarding to the guidance for 2015, we are working right now. We have triggered our process of budgeting for 2015. We have been having a lot of meetings here with our operating people, the finance people, and we will be ready by the beginning of the year, once we have our shareholders meeting, that is to present that to our shareholders, basically to the board, and have the approval of the board for the budget of 2015. But we expect to have a year very similar to this year in the video. We don't think that we will have a bigger this year growth in broadband. We expect broadband to be still our flagship for the future, and we will have a larger or bigger growth in internet than video and voice. But it's going to be slightly lower than what we had this year. This year was exceptionally high. And we expect that to be high, higher than the average of the market in all three segments. And we will also be reflected in our revenues, the growth of this year will be fully reflected in our financials for next year. We expect the financials to be very close in growth next year than we had this year, even though maybe the growth of broadband is going to be slightly slower. But that's pretty much what we have seen in our previous analysis. But you will have a definitely fine-tuned budget and guidance at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
Once
thank you.
Send that to all order and it's approved. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone else would like to ask a question, we ask that you press the star key followed by the one key on your phone. The next question comes from Mr. Brian Flores from Interacciones. Please go ahead, Mr. Flores.
Thank you. It has been previously answered, so thank you.
Okay, great.
There
is a follow-up from Martin Lara from Actinver. Please go ahead, Mr. Lara.
Yeah, thank you. I have a follow-up on PCTV. Could you please remind us the amount of sales and EBITDA that this company generated in the last 12 months?
We have not done that.
Last 12 months, but we have what we are.
The company suffered a big transformation when we acquired that, which is recently. We were not very much involved in CCTV until 2-3 weeks ago. Because at the beginning when we did the process of trying to acquire the company, the normal procedures before the law came out, and when we took advantage of the Article 9 transferring of the law, we were prevented by the authority to keep the operations of Megacable and CCTV isolated, so we couldn't mix that. Obviously, when the company shrunk in size at the beginning of the year, the company took certain measures to survive. So we did a big adjustment in personal employment, and we also did the company did a big expense reduction. So the company is in black numbers. The company is not losing money. The company is making money. And we have about 12% EBITDA margin after all the adjustments today. And their revenues are about 70 to 80 million pesos a month. We were still, you know, analyzing those numbers, but we are very confident that it's going to be a operation that will have positive EBITDA, and we are also reinventing the company in new business units like TV production and some strategic alliances with other programmers like Discovery, Viacom, and all those guys. We're talking to them to help them produce whatever they need to do to produce in Mexico. So it's going to be a business that will be EBITDA positive in the future.
But a small business on that part. No, the revenue is low on that part. As we continue to take away, you know, companies that are not distributing our signals on CCTV.
And also have to consider that once we consolidate, we have to take in consideration that one of the biggest customers for CCTV is Megacable. So consolidations will impact a little bit. We have to see how the numbers come together.
Yeah, but it's slightly less than that, like 600 million per year. From now on, even less than
that. What we pay for the asset is a very good deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and does it have any debt?
No,
Martin.
It's debt free.
Okay.
It's actually, it's got positive in balance in cash.
Okay, and you said EBITDA margin of 12%, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, we don't have any further questions, so I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Yamuni for his closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. We wish to take this opportunity to thank you for your interest in Megacable. We will continue working towards consolidating our leadership in the regions where we serve and where we operate. We will, with state-of-the-art technology and services that transform communications and connectivity to our customers. We wish you all the best for the remainder of the year, and we as always are at your disposal for any further questions or information that you may need or may want to have. you know, our emails and phone numbers, and also Luis Chester, our CFO, and Raimundo, the deputy CEO, are ready to answer all or any questions that you may have in the future. Thank you very much. We hope to hear from you in the future and be with you in future conferences like this. Thank you very much. And Raimundo.
Well, thank you. I hope you're happy with the results we are in this. We think we're doing things in the right manner, you know, investing where we need, and that's why we have so many people and so many questions from you, and we're always glad to answer those questions, and thank you for the interest in our organization and company. We're committed to increase stockholders and revenue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.